could satisfy. A peace for the hurt I had buried deep inside. Knees on the floor, I finally found everything I needed. You lifted my soul.
Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord,
everybody. Amen. I got to be sure I got a brand new hearing aid battery this morning. Be sure everybody's here. Amen. Thank the Lord. Hallelujah. It's so good to be here in the house of the Lord this morning. Do you love the Lord this morning? Praise the name of the Lord. I just want to start off this morning, open up with a scripture. You know, a lot of times we say, whenever we pray, Lord, don't let me leave the same way that I came into this house. Ezekiel 46 and verse number 9 gives us very specific instructions. The Bible says, but when the people of the land shall come before the Lord in solemn feast, he that entereth in by the way of the north gate, it says that to worship shall go out by the way of the south gate. So if you come in the north gate, in my mind, you kind of want to hang around the north gate entrance. You really don't want to get in and get too far, get too involved. But the Bible says that if you come in by the north gate, then you need to go all the way across, get out in the middle of it where everything is happening. And then when you leave, to leave by way of the south gate, the same thing that if you come in by the east gate, don't hang around by the door, but go all the way through and leave by way of the west gate. I said that this morning to say this, amen, that if you're thinking about maybe just kind of holding off and not really getting involved in the service this morning, I invite you to listen to what the word of the Lord said, that when you walk in through those doors this morning, you need to haul off and get off in the middle of what God's about to do in this service this morning. If you need a healing in your body, there's a healer in the house today. If you need peace of mind, there is a peace speaker that's in the house today. Do you love the Lord? I'm so glad that I'm in his house this morning. Clap your hands this morning if you love him. Amen. Y'all worship with us this morning as we sing.
What a wonder.
Jesus, what a wonder you are. Jesus, 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 what a wonder you are. Jesus, 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 what a wonder you are.
for that this morning. Hallelujah. You said it, Jesus. We believe today. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Aren't you thankful that God is in control? And aren't you thankful that God knows where you are this morning? God is so good. Amen. Hallelujah. We're so glad to have you today here at the UPC of Paris. Thank you so much for coming today. And if you're a guest, Lord bless you for being in the house of the Lord. And let's give our guest a hand. Thank you this morning. God bless you. Amen. We're going to ask our ushers to come receive our tithe and offering at this time. Thank you for your faithfulness in giving. I do want to say, don't forget that coming up the 28th of this month is our Ladies United Fellowship here in Paris, the studio PTX at 6 p.m. And you can talk to Sister Candy if you have any questions about that. Sister Wanda is going to be speaking that night. It's going to be a great night there. Amen. Looking forward to that for our ladies. Also, this coming Friday is Trunk or Treat. Everyone said Trunk or Treat. Amen. If you've not signed up, everyone said sign up. Amen. We only lack about 6 or 7 trunks. Amen. And it'd be great if you help us out there. And so when you leave today and stop by the table, sign up. And that'd be a great blessing for our kiddos on Friday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. Of course, Sister Candy and Sister Ayanna are overseeing that. So if you have any questions, you can talk to them. But seriously, we need some help there. So if you would, please help us out in that endeavor, volunteers, whatever. Just please go out there and sign up. And God will bless you. Just 6 to 8, and we'll be done. All right? So that's this Friday evening. Looking forward to a great time. Also coming up on the 14th of November is our men's camp out here at our lake property at Pat Mays. And it's going to be a great night. No cost to go to that. So please sign up for that. That's in the foyer as well. And it's going to be a great fun field weekend for our men. That's coming up on the 14th. And I'm looking forward to that, to a great night in Jesus' name. Amen. And I do want to go to the Lord in prayer right now before we take our offering this morning. Of course, we are continuing to pray for Sister Anita Smith, and been having quite a bit of health problems, praying for God to touch her this morning. Of course, we're continuing to pray for Kenda, for God to touch her, and continuing to pray for Sister Dickie, having treatments done, for God to touch her, and Michael Malone battling cancer, praying for God to touch him, and always praying for our missionaries, for God to touch them, always praying for those in government positions. The Bible says pray for our leaders, so we pray for those, no matter who they are, for God to lead them and guide them in our nation. Amen. And if you need prayer this morning, you can come to the front. We'll gladly anoint you with oil and pray for you. The Bible says the prayer of faith will save the sick. Amen. We believe in praying for the sick. Amen. And if you need prayer, please come this morning. And let's just pray this morning. Jesus, we love you. Lord, just see every need that's represented today. God, we ask you, Lord, right now to heal the sick, God, to deliver those who are afflicted, those who are wounded, bruised, God, battered by life. We ask you in the name of Jesus that your hand today, God, be upon this house. We pray the Holy Ghost would move in a very special way today, Lord. We ask you to bless this offering this morning, God. We thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Amen. Worship with the team as they sing one more song this morning. Praise the Lord.
Thank you. Jesus. Amen. Nobody like Jesus.
Said nobody like Jesus. Amen. Aren't you thankful he changed your life? Amen. Aren't you thankful he rearranged some things in your life? Thank God for that today. Hallelujah. Amen. We're so glad to be here on a Sunday morning. God bless you for being in church. Again, if you're a guest, thank you for making the UPC of Paris a part of your Sunday. And I'm only going to point this out, not to leave anybody out. But I want to say how good it is to have my great friend, Brother Terry Hall, with us today. Wave at him, Brother Terry. My good friend, he don't like me doing that, but we spent many days together where I pastored at last and eating out and talking over life. And I'm so thankful he's here today. He works, travels the country, working in the bee business. And so thankful he's here with us today on his way back home. But love and appreciate him so much. And God is so good. And I believe the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Before my pastor gets started, I don't want to interrupt because I know the Lord's fixing to move in this word. I just want to do something very, very quickly. If I could have the ushers go ahead and bring that up here. Amen. Do you love your pastor this morning? Amen. Sister Davis, if I could ask you to please come on for the piano for just a few seconds. Amen. This morning. I don't want to interrupt this word. I know God's about to move, but I've been instructed to do this morning. Amen. We love our pastor and our pastor's wife so very, very much. We want to thank you for your dedication, your prayers. Amen. Me personally, I know that since I have started here, you two have been an incredible inspiration for me and my family. We love you, amen. And I'm so excited. I can't wait to see what God's got for this church behind the ministry of Brother and Sister David. Do you love them? Give them a hand clap this morning. We just want to present you with a small token this morning.
Thank you so much. That is so kind of y'all, and I don't feel like I've been here long enough to get anything yet, but I do thank you and for your thoughts and consideration. Every card in here, we'll read them, and thank you. It's an honor for us to be here, and we love Paris. Amen. God's a good God. Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you again, guys. We love y'all so much. If I give Jenna the mic, she'll preach, and I'm preaching today. Bless God. And I'm just playing. Amen. Good to be in church on a Sunday morning. Amen. Give yourself a hand for being here. God is good. Amen. Again, thank you so much. That is so kind of you. Amen. I'm turning this morning to Revelations chapter 21. Revelations chapter 21. You know, every now and again, it's good to be reminded about that city called heaven. Amen. I mean, we're not here forever, in case you didn't know. I mean, we're going to a place called heaven, and I want to preach to us today about that city called heaven. And John is writing here in Revelations 21, and John says the words, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth." He said, "For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away.' And he that sat upon the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And he said unto me, 'Write, for these words are true and faithful.'" I want to take my title this morning out of verse 4. The writer says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be," everyone said, "no more. No more death. Everyone said no more sorrow. Everyone said no more crying. Everyone said no more pain. Amen. What a day that's going to be, man. For the former things are passed away. I'm preaching this morning on simply heaven's no mores. Heaven's no mores. Why don't we pray? Lord, we love you. Thank you, God, for the anointing of the Holy Ghost. We ask you, Lord, to speak in this house today. We ask you to move here, Lord, in a very special way. God, your spirit is among us. Thank you for your power, God. You're so good to us, Lord. Be with us this day. We need your help. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said amen. Clap your hands one more time. Smile at somebody. It's good to be in church. Amen. Praise you, God. Bless you in Jesus' name. You may be seated. Thank you for standing for the reading of the word. Amen. Heaven is no fairy tale. Amen. Heaven is a very real place. I think you'd agree that it's important for us as born-again believers not to get comfortable here on this earth. Heaven is more than just an old song we used to sing that said, "This world is not my home, I'm just passing through." But we truly are pilgrims, if you will, passing through this weary land called earth. I think it's needful and to be said that it's vital that you and I make sure this world doesn't pull us downward more than heaven pulls us upward. The Bible tells us that heaven is a prepared place. Jesus is speaking in John 14 and he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Heaven is more than a painting you see in an art gallery somewhere. Heaven is the most amazing thing that you and I will ever experience. John the Revelator on that Isle of Patmos, he relayed to us heaven's splendor. He gets a vision of what is in that place called heaven. It's found in Revelations chapter 21, if you ever want to read word for word, in 9 through 27. And in this passage, John, he describes that new Jerusalem. He describes the holy city that comes down from heaven, from God. And the angel in this text, he shows John this radiant city called the bride, or he called the bride. And the wife is, of course, the Lamb, who is Jesus Christ. And this city shines with God's glory. It's beautiful, it's pure, and it is perfect. The city of heaven, the Bible says, it's 1,400 miles long, it's 1,400 miles wide, and it's 1,400 miles high. This city called heaven is surrounded by a great wall with 12 gates, and the scripture says each gate is guarded by an angel, and it's named after the 12 tribes of Israel. The foundation stones of heaven, of the walls, are decorated, the Bible says, with precious jewels. And each foundation has a name of one of the 12 apostles. Everything in that city is made of pure gold and precious stones, with streets, the Bible says, like transparent glass, and gates made of single pearls. There is no temple in that city because
God is the Lamb. He is the one that represents the temple. There is no need, the Bible says, for sun or moon, because God's glory is the light that shines continually, and there is no night at all. The Bible says that all nations, all kings will bring their honor and glory into the city, but it lets us know that nothing evil or nothing impure will ever enter into that city. Only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. What a place heaven must be. Nothing can compare to what Jesus has prepared for those who have made, as the scripture says, their calling and election sure. And just a side note here, for any who have worried, or perhaps even now you find yourself worried about finances, or how you're going to pay this or pay that, or how God's going to do that, let me just insert a little bit of encouragement here. You don't need to doubt the Lord, because the stuff that you would love to have in a safe collecting, the Bible says he uses that as pavement for the streets of heaven when he paves it with pure gold. Revelation 21:21 says, the street of that city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. What I'm saying is simply this: he knows how to get the money to you. He knows how to provide the blessing you need, and he knows how to open the door at the right time. Amen. Thank God for that. Amen. I want to read, though, this morning, Revelations 21, 1 through 5. And the reason I want to do this is I want to focus here for the next little while on heaven's no mores that John, the Revelator, mentions in the text. And the physical side of heaven is, it's beautiful, it's awesome, it's grand, but we understand it's a whole lot bigger than what's inside the walls, if you will. It's a whole lot bigger than mansions and streets of gold and walls of jasper, gates of pearl. Heaven is a whole lot bigger than just structures. And John says in verse 3, I'll start there, and I heard, he said, a voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God, he said, shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, there shall be no sorrow, no crying, no more pain, for the former things, he said, are passed away. We understand that Jesus is what makes heaven, heaven. We know, you've heard the old song, if I can just have a little cabin somewhere on some dirt road by a creek, that'd be heaven for me, as long as Jesus is in that place. Amen. But with that understanding, there are some no mores. There's some things that you will not find in heaven that make heaven even more grand. I want to start with a few no mores this morning, and I'm pretty sure it'll make you smile here at the outset. Some of you will be thankful for this. In heaven, this is very spiritual, there will be no more alarm clocks. Anybody besides me? I've got an alarm on my phone for everything. I'll have 20 alarms go off every day, and I'll snooze every one of them. And they just go off over and over and over again. But in that city, amen, time won't matter in eternity. In that city called heaven, there'll be no such thing as Monday morning blues. Every day is a good day in that city called heaven. In heaven, there'll be no more diets. Glorified bodies can't gain weight. Isn't that pretty cool? In heaven, there will be no more bills to pay. Jesus paid it all, literally, on a place called Calvary. Thank God for the debt he paid. Amen. In that place called heaven, this really goes for me, there'll be no more losing my keys, because we'll always be home. Amen. In heaven, there'll be no more weather complaints, no scorching heat, no freezing cold weather, just perfect weather. In heaven, there'll be no more waiting in line. God's got the greatest organization system you've ever seen. Everything he does is right. Everything he does is perfect. What a place heaven is going to be. In heaven, I'm thankful today that there will be no more crime. There'll be no more murders. There'll be no more thieves. There'll be no more abuse. There'll be no more hate crimes. Revelation's told us that there shall by no means enter anything that defiles, that causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. In heaven, there'll be no more worry. Worry will no longer exist because God's perfect peace dwells in that city. In that city called heaven, there'll be no more hunger, no thirst anywhere. The Bible says, the sun shall not strike them, nor any heat, for the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of water. In heaven, thanks be to God, there will be no more sickness. In heaven, there'll be no more cancer. There'll be no more diabetes. There'll be no more high blood pressure. There'll be no more low blood pressure. There'll be no more heart failure. There'll be no more arthritis. There'll be no more bad knees, no more bad hips. Amen. Sickness, the Bible says, it's all a part of the curse. And the curse, the Bible says, is going to be removed according to Revelation 22:3. He said, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. In heaven there'll be, thanks be to God, no more tears, and there'll be no more crying. The scripture says, for God shall wipe away every tear from their eye. I found it interesting as to why the Lord said there would be no more tears, and he also said there would be no more crying in the same verse, when it seems like he's almost saying the same thing. But if you dig a little bit deeper into that, you find what John is trying to convey to us as born-again believers. The reason why John says that there'd be no tears and crying, the reason why they're mentioned both in the same verse, it's for emphasis' sake, yes, but it's also for completeness, in that God will wipe away every tear. That simply means that God will personally comfort us. He'll take away every hurt and sadness we've ever had. There'll be no more crying. That simply means that once God has done that, once God has removed the tears, if you will, there won't be ever another reason to cry again. All pain and sorrow will be gone forever. We know that tears are the result of an inner anguish. Tears are the result of the crying, if you will. I've cried before and had no tears, but in that city, there'll be no more tears. There'll be no more crying. The tears are the result of the crying, but once God heals the heart, the tears will stop flowing. He won't just wipe our eyes, but he'll remove the reason as to why they were ever filled in the first place. John is making it clear, and he's making it final, that in heaven, sorrow and suffering and all reasons for grief will be gone forever. The old song said, heaven will be worth it all. If it was just that one no more, I'd want to go to heaven this morning to know that God couldn't move every hurt from my heart. God would move every heart from my soul and from my spirit. God could move every anguish in my life. Thanks be to God for the no mores of heaven. John continued when he said, in heaven there'll be no more sorrow. God will wipe away every tear. John said no more sorrow because everything that causes pain, whether it's sin or suffering or loss, he said it will be gone forever. God's presence will bring perfect peace. It'll bring perfect joy. It'll bring complete restoration, wiping away every tear and removing all grief for eternity. Thank the Lord, there will be no more sorrow. Thank the Lord, there will be no sorrow caused by guilt. The Bible also says something interesting that I'll spend some time on this morning. John said, in that city there will be no more night. He said, they need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. When John said that there would be no more night, it simply means that God's glory is the light. There will be no need for the sun or the moon because God's presence will shine eternally. Revelation tells us in 21 and 23, he said, and the city had no need for sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God, it is what lightened it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Revelation 22 and 5 says, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. There'll be in that city, because there is no more night, there'll be no more darkness or evil. Night often symbolizes sin. Night often symbolizes fear and wickedness. But in that city called heaven, there'll be no sin and there'll be no danger. And since there is no more night, and since God is the light of that city, there will be no more separation from the Lord. We know that darkness can represent separation from God, but in that city called heaven, believers will live forever in his presence. And there shall be, again, the Bible says, no more curse. Verse 4 says, they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. You'll never, ever again be separated from him. There's a verse that's always intrigued me in John chapter 21. It's been up for much debate, but it says in verse 1, and I saw a new heaven, a new earth, and the first heaven, the first earth was passed away. And he ends it with those interesting words, and there was no more sea. It's been debated again as to what John was trying to convey, but if you take that verse just at face value, we understand as Americans that it's the sea that separates continents. It's the sea that keeps us separate from the world. But in that city called heaven, there is no more sea. And what I felt this morning while preparing for this word is that I want to go a step further today and say that you don't have to wait until you get to heaven to experience no separation in your soul, because the Lord of all eternity can remove the troubled sea in your life this morning. God can remove the sea that's been tossing and turning you in its angry waves. God can remove what feels like a great sea between you and him. God can come down in this house today and remove the sea of hate. God can come down today and remove the sea of bitterness. Heaven can come down today and remove the sea of doubt. And you can leave here on this Sunday morning with no more sea. I thank God before I get to heaven, I can experience the no more. I can experience today the no more separation from the Lord. Hear me, somebody, right now. God brought you here this morning to let you know I can remove some things out of you today. I can remove some things out of your heart today. I just need you to trust me and to believe I'm big enough to do what I said I can do. Now, it feels like a Sunday morning crowd, and you probably stayed up to midnight, but please act like you're at church for a little bit if you don't mind. Amen. Jesus is the only guy that's ever walked on water. Jesus is the only guy that can come to a troubled sea that's rocking and that's reeling, and he can walk on top of it, and he's so much God that he can speak in the storm and say, if you want to, you can walk out where I'm at. I know it's scary. I know you feel fearful. I know you feel like there's no way I can do it, God. I know you feel like there's no way I can step out and trust you. I feel it right now. You need to trust the Lord again and let God be God and let God take care of the rest of it. God sent this preacher to tell somebody there can be no more separation in your life today if you'll just trust him again. Everybody said no separation. And And the reason there's no separation is because there's no more night. Jesus said, but if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth. Because why? There is no light in him. But Jesus also said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Thanks be to God. You can leave here today. Please hear me, somebody, with no more separation. You can leave here today with no more sea. Thank God, church, you, if you've been filled with the glorious gift of the Holy Ghost, and that light floods your soul before we leave this world for a place called heaven, we can bring this light to a dark world and let them know that you also can have a no more here on this earth. Paul said, for you sometimes were in darkness, but now you are the light of the Lord. He said, you should walk as children of the light. He said, everywhere you go, they should see heaven. Paul said, everywhere you go, they should see a little bit of heaven. I don't want a medal, but I feel a medal here. Everywhere you go, they should see the heavens no more living on the inside of you. Everywhere you go, that they shouldn't see the temper of you, the anger of you. Man, I don't want to dig on that, but God put something inside of you. Hello, God. You hear what I'm telling you. You walk in a many a place that's full of darkness. I'll get to it in a couple of minutes, but you hear what I'm telling you. There's people all around you who are walking through, some in just sin and some in just heavy darkness. And they need the Holy Ghost you, not the devil you. They need to know that when you walk in the room, there's something about you. Don't have to put it on. It's not something you show off about. You ain't got to tell nobody about it. They can just feel the difference. They can just see the difference. We've got to be children of the light. We're no longer children of darkness. We don't walk in darkness. We walk in the light now. The light exposes everything. The light brings to light everything. God have mercy. The light brings to pass everything that's in your life that's hidden, that seems so dark. And the Lord wants to illuminate someone's heart this morning and tell you, you've come to the right place at the right time, at the right season. I can remove the sea today. I can remove the pain inside of you today. Everyone said, no more night. Some may ask, if I have the light of God now on the inside of me, and if he lives in me, how then can I still be separated? And I became so encouraged as I was preparing for this word when I dug a little bit and researched and realized that the entirety of what John was saying against a whole lot bigger than just separation from sin and separation from the world. But research tells us that you and I who have the light now, we are still, however, surrounded, as I said, we are still surrounded by the night. But when you were filled with the Holy Ghost, his light filled your spirit. But we know we still live in a world that's full of shadows, that's full of temptation and pain and loss. And there's limits to this mortal body. There's limits as to what you and I can do. Paul told us that we see now through a glass darkly, but then we'll see face to face. So even though we're saved and even though we're filled, we still deal with the measure of separation, not from his spirit, but from his fullness. We still feel his presence, but we don't yet see him face to face. There is a veil, if you wheel called mortality that's between you and him, and it creates distance. But in that city called heaven, that veil is gone forever. Revelation told us the tabernacle of God, it is with men, and he shall dwell with them. That is the ultimate end of every trace of separation. Right now, we sense God by our faith. We pray, we worship. He comes near to us. But in that city, faith will become sight, and the presence of God will become ever permanent. There is no come or go in that city. There is no feel him and don't feel him at times. It's a constant, perpetual communion. There is no distance. There is no veil. There is no flesh standing between us and God. There's simply no more night. There's no more moments. God knows I've felt it in my life at times. There's no more moments of feeling absent and feeling like God has somehow left me or feels far away from me. Not because God left us, but because our flesh, our emotions, our human limitations, they condemn who he really is and what he really wants to do in our lives. But in heaven, there will be no such moments. There will be no more prayers that you have to press through. There'll be no more worship trying to get in. You'll just simply be in. When you get in that city, it'll be always day. It'll always be a perpetual move of God's presence. Thanks God. There'll be no more night in that city called heaven. Thank God. Woo. Down here is not the end game. It's just a place, as Carol Magruder said, we're just warming up for that meeting on the other side. Everybody said, no more night. In that city called heaven, there'll be no more suffering and there'll be no more uncertainty. Night is often associated with sorrow and weeping. But David said that weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And in eternity, there will be endless joy. There will be no more fear. There will be no more suffering. There will be no more uncertainty. In that city, it's simply eternal life and rest. Night, we understand, it signifies the passing of time and the need for rest. But in heaven, there will be only eternal strength. There will be only eternal rest. Thank God, in heaven, there will be victory over darkness. God, who is light, said then, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. In that city called heaven, there will be no more sin. In that city called heaven, there will be no more thirst. There will be no more hunger. In that city called heaven, there will be no more fear. In that city called heaven, there'll be no more death. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. God will wipe away death. There'll be nothing like that in that city. We sung a song years ago that said, by and by, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathered at home, we will tell the story of how we overcome and we'll understand it better. By and by, you'll understand when you get to that city called heaven as to why you had to suffer the way you had to suffer. You'll understand when you get to that city called heaven better by and by why God didn't answer the prayer like you thought he should have answered the prayer. You'll understand why God chose not to heal certain people. You'll understand why God did what he did. God, I feel it again. Hear me, somebody, right now. You've got to trust the Lord and what he's doing right now. Trust that God knows where you are. Trust that God's got his hand on you. Trust that God will not drop you. Trust that the Lord will not leave you empty-handed. You may feel empty-handed, but the one who created everything, he's the one that woke you up this morning. He's the one that let you sit on a pew this morning. He's the one that gave you breath to breathe that next breath. Paul said in Corinthians 13:12, that same verse about seeing through a glass darkly, the New Living Translation says it like this: we see things imperfectly now. They're like puzzling reflections in a mirror. But then we shall see everything with perfect clarity. He said, all that I know now is partial and incomplete. But then I will know everything completely, just as God now knows me completely. So many people this morning in that city called heaven, that I'm sure just like you, that I want to see. So many people in that city this morning that I want to connect with when I step inside that city. I could pass this mic around, no doubt, this morning. We could spend hours, no doubt, of you telling me the stories of elder saints of God that you really want to see when you get to that city. You would take time and tell me how they made it through so many trials and tribulations. And like Hebrews says, it's that great cloud of witnesses that surround us now. And they're there as a testimony today telling us you can make it. I feel it again. Hear me, somebody, right now. Whatever you do, don't get comfortable in this world. Whatever you do, don't become satisfied. This is just the beginning. Eternity is forever. There is a city. God, help me this morning. Hear me, someone, right now. There is a city called heaven, and there really is a place called hell. And what I do right now in the present, it's what's going to determine where I go when I leave this world. So make sure this morning, be very sure that you're anchored to that rock, which is Christ Jesus. I've got to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Don't let anything keep you here. Are you hearing me? Don't let anything or anybody keep you here. Don't let anger keep you here. I don't care how mad they made you. Whatever you do, don't let it keep you here. Don't let, I've preached it for weeks now, I feel like, but don't let bitterness keep you here. Don't let any of that stuff affect your spirit, because that will affect the outcome of where I go when I leave this world. And right now, the Lord is trying to encourage us and tell us there's people who have left and went before you, and they stand as reminders. They stand as testimonies. They stand as people of faith of the ages, from the book of Acts or from the book of Genesis to now, telling us it's going to be worth it all. It's going to be worth it all. It'll be worth every trial. It'll be worth every struggle. It'll be worth every pain you go through. They, everyone said they. Say they ain't worth being lost over. Heaven's pulling and hell's pulling. You may not believe this, and that's okay. It's the truth anyways. I've said it before, I'll say it again. The eternal world is more real than the physical world. I've been guilty so many days, I would dare say months, God forgive me, where heaven was not on my mind. I was just living for the day. I was just living for the moment. When's the last time you got up in the morning with heaven on your mind? When's the last time you looked up at the sky and said, man, what a day it's going to be when I get to see him face to face? I'm not here to guilt trip you, but I am here to tell you this world is doing everything it can to pull us back. It does everything it can to try to pull us. Nothing wrong with pursuing careers. Nothing wrong. The Lord said, occupy till I come. He said, be wise. Don't be goofy. Be wise. But at the same time, heaven can't be somewhere distant in the back of your mind. It's got to be. If Jesus decides to check Brad Davis out at 1 o'clock today, I pray to God, I'm ready to leave this house, ready to go. Jeff Arnold said it best year ago, your last church service you leave from, it should be good enough to go to heaven from. God help us today not to become consumed with just living life. Everybody say, repent every day. Every day, repent every day. God, help me, Lord, to be sure I'm ready. Help me, God, to make sure my life, my soul, my spirit's ready. God, I'm trying to go to that place called heaven. I'm trying to get to a place where Jesus is the light of that city. Can you imagine, God help me today, can you imagine what it's going to be like when you step really inside those gates, if you will? And that's not even the greatest part. It's realizing I've won. It's realizing you won't have any memory of this because God will wipe it all away. But now in the present, you understand. It's realizing that every trial, every struggle, every time I made it right, every time I repented, thank God I went down in a watery grave in baptism in the name of Jesus. Thank God I repented. Thank God for every preacher that preached conviction. Thank God God spoke to my heart over. I promise you, you won't be mad at the preacher then. You'll thank God for every preacher that ever preached to you because you can say, I've won, I've won, I've won. Paul said, what a mess this to say. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. Surely if they'd have known that old song in Paul and Silas's day, I believe he'd have snuck it in there. Inside the gates. Anyone heard it before? Inside the gates. I'm home, sweet home. No more to cry, no more to die. A crown of life you have won. You're safe at last. Your sorrow's past, a mansion here forevermore. He said, I'll admit I'm heaven sent when I step inside the gates. If I can just step inside the gates, if I can just get there, God help me. If I can just somehow make it to that city called heaven, if I can just somehow, I don't care if you make one more red cent, I could care less. I don't care if you close one more business deal, who cares? If I can just get there, if I can just get to heaven, that's all that's going to matter in the end. You come to the piano, please. The pain of death, it'll be swallowed up in heaven. And we understand that not all believers will go by way of the grave. Paul told us, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, he said, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, be ye unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Paul said, it's written, eyes not seen, ear is not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. John said, he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. He said, in the midst of the street of it and on either side of the river, there was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb of it shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no more night, and they need no candle, nor light of the sun, for God is the light. Again, he said, write these things to people, and let them know that these things are faithful. They are true. That where we're headed, please hear me, I know it's a different word, I get all of that, but where we're headed this morning is the main objective of the Christian life. I don't want to sound harsh, and I pray I don't. But coming to church is not about connections. It's not a networking place, if you will. That does happen, but that's not what it's about. It's not about building my social network and building my group and building. No. That's not what church is about. Man, when you repent of your sins and that preacher puts you under and you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost and you felt like the happiest guy or gal in the world, and God sets you on a path again called sanctification. He sets you on a path of being more like him and less like you. And in that doing so, hear me please, I have been guilty, you have been guilty, of we get so fixated on life. It's not saying you got to think about dying every second of the day, but sometimes we forget why we're in this. I want to say it again, I'm not in this to make as many friends as I can. I'm not in this just to be seen, because if I show up, they'll think I'm all right. No, that's crazy. I'm in this because I really want to go to heaven. And I'm really serious about doing, Lord, whatever you want me to do to get there, God, I've got to get to heaven. I can't live my life, got to just go in day to day, motion after motion, just hanging out, enjoying. No. Remember the man, the Bible says, he said, I got all these great things. I'm increased with goods. I got all these things. He said, I don't know what I'm going to do. I think what I'll do is I'll just build a bigger barn. He said, I'm so blessed, I don't know what to do. And it's a parable, but the principle's there. The Lord said, thou fool, this night your soul, it's going to be required of you. What was he saying? You're living for the wrong reason. What was he saying? You become so consumed on stuff, you forgot about me. You forgot it wasn't about all this. You forgot it wasn't about how big can I build the house. How it wasn't about all that stuff. Now, hear me, it's not a sin, but when it becomes everything I do, when it becomes my lifelong ambition to pursue, if I can just get to this age, I'll have 3.4 mil here. Right? No, it's not about that. Be wise, be smart, but keep heaven always right here. Because, hear me, today could be the day that God brings us out of here. Do we understand that? Today could be the day. That's not a fear tactic, that's just reality. And Jesus says at 2:30, it's over. I think you'll agree when I get to that city, first person I'll look up, it's not the Apostle Paul, it's not Peter. I plan on finding them, yes I do. But like the elders, if I don't even have to have a crown, but if I get a crown, I want to cast it at his feet. The one who came, walked this earth, lived, bled, died, got up again. I got to tell him, thank you. When I was acting like a fool, you kept loving me. Thank you, God. I can take you. I see it in my mind's eye. When I ran the red light at about 21 years old, and God knows I wasn't ready, and the car didn't broadside me. Thank you. Thank you, God, when I was questioning everything in my mind about what's right, what's not right. Thank you, you didn't take me then. I wish somebody would just dust off the cobwebs of life for a few minutes and just take a trip down memory lane and say, God, when I look back over my life and I think of all the times, if you'd have snatched me out of here, Lord, I wouldn't have been ready. But thank you. Thank you for mercy. Thank you for grace. Thank you, God, that you love me with a never-ending love.
And I ain't trying to get serious, but I'm not too morbid, if you will. But I feel some things. You hear what I'm telling you? Scripture says it is once appointed unto man to die, and then comes the judgment. You better hear what this preacher's saying right now. There is a day coming where every one of us will see the Lord face to face. And what I do with my right now, what I do with this very moment, is going to determine where I spend with the Lord. Are separated from God. Let's all stand. Most tragic verse in the entire Bible is the parable of the rich young ruler. And what's tragic about it is Jesus tells a story and he acts like there was a poor man named Lazarus, and some say it's a parable, some say it's real life. I tend to believe it's real because there's names mentioned, times, culture. But in that scripture, the Lord says there was a man named Lazarus in that day, poor, wretched, set at the gate begging. There was a rich man who came by every day, made fun, mocked, what have you. The Bible says both men died. Both men went to the grave. The Bible says that Abraham was taken to the Lord's bosom, and in hell, the rich young ruler lifted up his eyes. The tragic part of that verse is he asks, Lord, I got to have something to, I'm tormented in these flames. But the Bible says Abraham said these words, I can't come to you. Because there's a great sea here. There's a great gulf here, he said. Even if I wanted to come, I can't get there. And the most tormenting thing to me is knowing I could have got there a whole lot sooner if I wanted to get there. I've said it. I'm talking about heaven, but you hear me. I just feel some things. I don't know how many times I've said it. I don't know how many messages I've heard preached in my life. I tried one time to count. It was like, I don't know, 20-something thousand from the time I was a kid up until like 35 when I counted these things 5-6 years ago. And I've heard thousands upon thousands upon thousands of messages. I've had times where God reached for me and I walked away and didn't respond. I've had times where God reached for me and I did respond. But what's always scary to me is that I've heard people came to church, never experienced God, and in the following week they were gone from this world. It's like God just gave them a time, a space, a chance. I think it'd be wise before we leave today to make sure we're all headed to heaven before we leave. Heaven's going to be wonderful. Heaven's going to be great. But whatever you do, make sure you're ready for that city called heaven. Man, if you've not obeyed the gospel, if you've not repented of your sins, I implore you, repent of your sins. Ask God to forgive you. Everybody in this house is a sinner. We've all fallen short of the glory of the Lord. We're all in need of a Savior, amen. So don't be ashamed of that. Repent of your sins. Ask God to forgive you. Turn around. Go the opposite direction. If you've not been baptized in the name of Jesus, you've got to be baptized in the name of Jesus. If you've not been filled with the Spirit, God wants to fill you with the Spirit. Man, it's not something you got to beg God for. It's a gift. It's what God gives us. It's just done through worship. It's done through praise. It's not, God, please fill me, God. No, no. It's just, God, I thank you in advance. I thank you. I promise you, God will fill you with the Spirit. I mean, if you are a born-again believer, it would do you good. Just ask God, make sure, Lord, my heart's right. Make sure, God, my soul's right today. God, make sure my spirit's ready. God, make sure everything's out, everything's clean, everything's godly. Make sure I'm ready to see you, Lord. That's a good thing. I mean, it's a good thing to be clean on the inside of your soul. And know I'm ready to go if the Lord decides to take me out of this thing. And if God gives you 80 years, praise God. Just make sure you're ready every day. Make sure you're ready. Every day you wake up, every night you go to bed. Lord, if I've done anything wrong, forgive me, God. I want to make sure if I die in my sleep tonight, I'm ready to go in the morning. Come on, somebody. This ain't morbid, it's reality. God wants to make sure our heart, our soul, our mind, our spirit's ready to see him. We can experience all of heaven's no mores. Let's all pray. Lord, we love you today. God, you're good. God, you're merciful this morning. Lord, there is none like you, Jesus. We ask you, Holy Ghost, right now in the name of Jesus, talk to our hearts. Talk to our minds, oh God. Talk to our lives, oh God. Talk to our souls. Help us, oh God, I pray, to get anything and everything out of our spirits, Lord. If there be any wicked way in me, oh God, forgive me, I pray, God. If I've offended you in any way, God, forgive me, God. If I've offended anybody, oh God, in my life, forgive me, Lord. Help me, God, to make sure my heart's right today. Help me, God, to make sure my soul's right today. I think it'd be good to have a great church altar call. You can pray in your pew, I don't care. You can come to the front and pray, I don't care. I just ask us to pray. Let's just ask the Lord, God, forgive me, God, if anything's in my mind and my spirit, God. I want to experience everything you've got for me in heaven, Jesus. Make sure my heart's right today. Make sure my mind's right today. Come on, somebody. Don't leave here with life on your mind. Leave here with heaven on your mind today. Oh God, help us today. Come on, somebody, cry out to the Lord. Cry out to the Lord today. Help me, oh God, I pray, to make sure my mind, my heart, my soul, my spirit's right.
I need your mercy.
I need your grace, God.
I need your grace.
Come on, somebody, pour your heart out to him today.
I need your
grace. Oh God, I need you today, God. If there be anything in my heart, oh God, forgive me, Lord.
I can't make it without you.
If there be anything in my mind, oh God, I need you, God, right now. Wash me, God, I pray, in the blood of the Lamb, I pray. Cleanse me, God. Keep me, oh God, I pray. Speak to my heart, oh Lord. Show me, oh God. Show me, oh God. Show me, oh God, I pray.
I need your mercy.
I need your grace. God, thank you for your kindness. You're so good to your people, Lord. We praise you today in Jesus' name. Amen. I encourage you this morning. Live a life every day, a life of repentance. The Bible talks about praying without ceasing. It doesn't mean you go around screaming out every hour of the day. It just simply means a lifestyle. It's a perpetual life. God, help me, Lord. Keep my mind right, God. Keep my heart right. Keep my spirit right. Why? Because I want to experience that city called heaven. And I want to see Jesus more than anything face to face in the end. Amen. Amen. God bless you this morning. Thank you for coming to church on a Sunday morning. Again, if you're a guest, thank you for being here today. We pray God blesses you. Amen. You're dismissed in Jesus' name. Lord willing, we'll see you back here tonight, 5:30 prayer, where the Kelsos preaching. It's going to be a great night. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.